Did you find every gift that was for you? Maybe you opened them last night. Maybe you opened them, maybe you're going to open them this afternoon. Let me encourage you to make sure you get every gift open. Because I'm going to show you a gift-giving instance in the Bible where a gift was almost missed. Almost passed right by. Look at John chapter 4. Let me find it myself here. All right. Verse 10. We're going to start this verse and we're going to go back a bit. I want you to see Jesus is speaking to someone, we'll see in a moment, who Jesus answered, John chapter 4, verse 10, answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, who thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus said, if you only knew the gift that you haven't opened yet. Look back in verse 5. I want to show you that God's gift waits to be opened. Verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. "Then cometh he," Jesus, "to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was about noon. Jesus and his disciples were on their way down from Galilee to Jerusalem. And he's traveling through an area called Samaria. His disciples were hungry. I mean, you know, you don't go very long before you're hungry again, amen? You'll eat a huge meal today, and 4 hours later, you're like, where's the sandwiches? The disciples were hungry, and verse 8 says, his disciples were gone away into the city to buy McDonald's. That's what it says in the original. All right, no. It was a strange thing that was going on at that moment. Jesus had gone through Samaria. You don't do that. That was a Jewish no man's land. The Jews weren't welcome, and really the Jews never wanted to go through that area. To actually go right to Samaria, in the heart of Samaria, and to a well where nobody else was, and to sit down there was kind of strange. But it was not that he was doing nothing. He was waiting. He was waiting to be noticed. There was Jesus sitting there on that well, and I got what you understand, if this was like the well, again, it would be a circular pile of stones built up so sand wouldn't easily get into it. And he's sitting there on that well, and I guarantee you, he's not just sitting on an edge, he's blocking anybody's access to that water. He's doing it on purpose. As he sat thus on the well, something's about happening. You see, Jesus is wanting to get attention. He was waiting to be noticed, and he got attention all right. Let me tell you, God has some great gifts for people, but most people don't notice them. I mean, they're absolutely stunning. They are absolutely the most greatest gifts ever, as Brother Dennis was saying. Best friend you could ever have. And yet people don't notice it. God's gifts need to be noticed. Maybe even tripped over before you notice it. Because we're so blind. Look at verse 7. In comes, up comes this woman. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink." God's gift waits to be noticed. But also God's gift challenges a need. He's thirsty, isn't he? She's thirsty, isn't she? Jesus was tired. He did not look like a superhero. He was not on top of that well with his cape draping behind him, getting ready to launch. He looked tired. He looked thirsty. He was weary. And so he strikes up a conversation about, what would you talk about? Being thirsty. Hey, you go to the hospital, what do you talk about? Well, you know, last time I was in here, I had a broken arm. You talk about hospital things. Here was a need. I'm glad Jesus talks about where we're at. He talks about simple things, and he just asks her for something. Now, you know, as he asked about a drink, it's amazing. That's what she came there for. Think about how much water you use during a day. You know, the government did, and they decided to tax it. They're going to bring in these water charges and things because they realize people use so much water. Not just you, but your whole family. No wonder they want to bring in water charges. If you had to go and get water every day, you would freak out. You would hate it. She had to go and get water, put it in a bucket, carry it back home, probably two or three times a day. I've heard of families years ago who had a barrel that they would bathe in. Dad went first. And then you dreaded to be the last in the line to take a bath in that cold water. But you didn't have fresh water, did you? Can you imagine having to fill up a barrel full of water from a pump or from a well? Here was this woman gathering precious water. You know why we have a Bible-believing church? It's so that people can trust that when they come here, they know we're going to talk about what people really need. See, Jesus didn't talk about the weather. Jesus didn't talk about politics. Jesus didn't talk about the economy. He talked about a need. When you come to church, guess what we talk about? What people need. Jesus challenged her need. It was a thirst. Did you know thirst is more important than hunger? You can go 40 days. Some of you go longer. You can go 40 days without eating. You can't go 4 days without drinking. A thirst is a craving. It is when you are thirsty, when you haven't had a drink in a day, you'll kill to get a drink. When you're thirsty, you get desperate. And Jesus knew this woman was thirsty. God's gifts always challenge our biggest need. Jesus asked her for a drink. I'm glad he just asked simple questions, amen? He didn't ask her a theological question, do you believe in the second coming? He asked for a drink. He didn't ask her to climb a mountain, say a million prayers, or do penance for all her sins. All he asked for was, could you try and get some water for me and give me to drink from this well? Look at verse 9. She's shocked. Then said the woman, saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This woman is surprised. She's surprised that this Jew is even sitting there on that well in Samaria, and that he was talking to her. The Jews never had any dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were evil in the eyes of the Jews, and they were. The Samaritans were not godly people. They were the descendants of the Israelites that had intermarried with the pagan nations all around. They had sold out their relationship with God and said, it doesn't matter if we marry an ungodly woman. It doesn't matter if I marry an ungodly man. We're just in love. And so they ended up not godly, but wicked. And it happens every time, still to this very day, where somebody says, well, how can it be so wrong if we're in love? It can be very wrong. The people of Samaria had said, it doesn't matter how we live, doesn't matter where we live, doesn't matter how we worship, doesn't matter who we marry. And you know what? They were abandoned. Do you know what's great? God still went looking for them. Man, these people had, their faith was a mixture of Old Testament and idolatry. They tried to worship God and the sun. They were all messed up, man. The Samaritans were pagan, lost, and without God. And yet, here was this Jewish man talking with her like it was no problem at all. Did you know the gift of gifts is offered to all? Thank God, amen. It's not offered to good people, because there are none. It's offered to sinners. Praise God. It's offered to sinful men and women. It's offered to ungodly men and women. It's offered to Jew and Samaritan. It's offered to Gentile and foreigner. It's offered to civilized and the barbarian. Praise God. But this gift even gets gooder. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered back and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have opened up and given thee living water. Did you know God's gift, even though it needs to be noticed, it challenges a need, it is offered to everyone, it still has to be open. You know, it's like a gift that doesn't have a tag on it. You don't know where it came from. You leave it to last, don't you, when you're unwrapping gifts? Go, we don't know where this thing came from. Feels kind of light, you know, it doesn't have much weight to it. You always grab the boxes that are heavy, you know. make a lot of noise. But here's this, what is it, you know? So you leave that to last. Jesus said, just unwrap me. Just find out who I am. If you only knew. So God's gift needs to be open. Oh, that people of this world knew who was born in that manger. He's not a little bitty porcelain doll. He's not a religious figurehead. If only people knew who it was that healed the leper and raised the dead. Who it was that spoke the words of eternal life and changed our world. If only this world knew who allowed himself to be captured, tortured, whipped, beaten, and crucified. If only they knew who it was that 3 days later rose again from that tomb and who is right now knocking on every man's heart, waiting to come in and save them from their sin. When people finally realize and know who Jesus is, that is when they usually cry out in anxious prayer for him to save them. I watch people. They come to church, and I watch you. Don't you miss me for a minute. But I watch people come to church. I watch you come to church, and you have no interest in the gift. You may be here because it's the thing to do. Maybe you've been coming for a long time, and it's now your new hobby. It's now your new habit. Listen, I'm glad you're in church, but open the gift, will you? Don't just come and think this is all you have to do. When you realize who Jesus is, you'll fall at your face and you'll cry out, "Woo! I want him." You would never ever go, "I don't know if I'm going to church today. I don't know if I want to read my Bible." If you knew the gift of God, you couldn't wait to be with God's people. You couldn't wait to hear preaching from that book. You couldn't wait to have a Christmas that's centered around Jesus Christ if you knew the gift of God. Got to be opened. When people get born again, they usually don't need to be coaxed and pushed and manipulated to humble themselves. Man, it's like second nature. Actually, it's the first nature now. It says, I just want to live for him. Jesus is the gift of God. But he's not something that you hang on your wall or keep down to the church. He's not something you accept just as a fact. He is someone that must be sought for and seen for who he really is. He is not a genie. He is not somebody to crawl up on his lap and tell him what you want for Christmas. Jesus is Lord of all. Isn't it amazing how simple Jesus keeps things? He just says, if you only knew who I was, you'd ask of me. Amen? You know why people don't get saved? They don't ask. Oh, they will work. Oh, guilt will drive them to give money, to go to church. Guilt will drive them to try to be good, and they'll end up in hell. But if you realize the gift of God, all you have to do is ask. You'll go, where do I ask? Who do I talk to? Talk to him. In Jesus' name. That's all it takes. It just needs to be open. Verse 11, the woman said back unto him, Sir, you're offering me water. Well, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Let me say, God's gift is more than can be imagined. This woman can only think of liquid H2O. Oh, you're going to give me living water? You don't even have a rope. You have no bucket. How are you going to give me this water? All that woman could think of was water. You know, and I think she was quite glad. She said, if you want to get some water, go right ahead. I'm tired of it. Amen? I'm putting my bucket down. You get the water this time. Amen? But she really, in her heart of hearts, she really believes Jesus is kidding. She didn't see a rope, didn't see a bucket. She said, you're just playing with me, aren't you, Jesus? She reminded this Jewish man sitting on that well, blocking her, by the way, from that water, that a great man named Jacob had dug that well 800 years earlier. That's a pretty good accomplishment. Can you imagine digging a hole? Can you imagine digging a hole and it still being there 800 years later? So this woman is impressed by the efforts of Jacob, and she says, are you greater than him? Boy, was she in for a surprise. Amen? Here was this man saying, I'll give you something greater than all you've ever had before. This woman could not imagine that the gift that God was offering could be greater than anything she'd ever imagined. Look at verse 13. Let me show you, God's gift is everlasting. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Isn't that obvious? "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him," not a drink, but a what? "A well of water springing up constantly, over and over, forever and ever, up, springing up into everlasting life." Do you know, all you say, how many times do I need to get saved, Pastor Craig? Once. I know people who doubted their salvation and they pray, "Dear God, if I'm not saved, please save me. Oh, dear God, if I'm not saved, please save me." One of them's got to work, amen. All you need is one drink, and God doesn't give you the drink. He gives you a well, amen. That's why I believe in eternal security. You don't lose. You may get thirsty again, but you've always got the well, amen. So here, Jesus is telling this woman and telling us the gift that God gives doesn't wear out. You don't have to replace the batteries, amen. You don't have to tighten up the screws. You don't have to assemble before use, amen. It is everlasting. What a fantastic gift. Verse 15, the woman says unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw anymore." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said." We'd say this, "You've spoken honestly. I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." The woman said unto her, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know me through and through." The gift of God only opens to repentant sinners. You see, Jesus was offering her gift. She even asked for it, but he said, "You don't know what you're asking for." Do you know a lot of people will pray, "Dear God, I believe in you. I think I'll trust you." But they have no idea what they're trying to be saved from. They have no idea who Jesus really is. They have no idea the sin that they're in and that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. So Jesus brings up the sin issue. He says, "Go call your husband. I want to talk to him too." She went, "The guy I'm with, I'm not really my husband." "Oh, really? Tell me about it." You know, if you're ever going to talk to God, if you're ever going to deal with God, you better be honest, because he can't hear you until you humble yourself and be honest. This H2O water is fading quick. Now he's talking about sin. Jesus draws her into thinking about a man back at her house and the kind of relationship that she was living in. He didn't accuse her. He didn't condemn her. Her own heart condemned her, didn't it? Did you know the purpose of this Bible is to get you to see your sinfulness? That's why you didn't like it. That's why some of you still don't like it. Because three quarters of it is against us, amen? I'm glad for the promises, but there's some pronouncements in there that are really goes against the grain. So this book is to get us to finally notice that we're in trouble with God, to get us honest about how we really are. At least she was honest. She had five marriages and five divorces. And now she'd given up on relationships and she was living with a guy. Do you realize Jesus Christ could not save her, could not salvage her life until it was broken, until it was remorseful for her decision? She could not blame her husband. She could not blame the guy she was living with. She had to see herself as living with that man. Once she accepted her sinfulness, then Jesus could give her the gift he was offering. You know, the effort that I go to sometimes on a Sunday or on a Christmas day to get you to realize God so wants to give you gifts, but he waits for you to finally go, "I am unworthy." Now you're worthy. Amen? Do you see how that works? Think about it with me. Think about the fact that you cannot come to God and say, "You know, God, I hope this is better than last year." The gift that God gives is given to unworthy people. The longer you hold out and you say, you know, I've been pretty good this year, you know, I don't deserve coal. The longer you get coal. God gives gifts to repentant sinners. But look at verse 20. As soon as, and you'll know it, when you're giving the gospel to somebody, Christian, you're trying to give the gospel, they'll change the subject. You'll try to get them lost. You'll try to get them to understand the commandments of God and the righteousness of God, and they'll change the subject. Well, that's just your opinion. That's just your religion. Well, you're different than what we believe. Watch her. Look at verse 20. Our fathers, oh, as soon as she says, you know, you're getting a little close to home, you're talking about my personal life, she says, well, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye Jews say that it's in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's trying to start an argument. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. It's not the big deal of that. Ye Samaritans worship ye know not what. We Jews know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for broken people. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must simply worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. Just stop there for a second. She says, I know about somebody named the Messiah. That's a good thing. But Jesus is here saying, don't think that the gift of God is found in religion. It's not found in whether you're worshiping in the temple in Jerusalem or you're trying to worship God in Samaria. You better find the God of the Jews. Do you know where we got our Bible from? The Jews. That's a Jewish book. Jesus was, I hate to break your heart, he was a Jew. We worship the God of the Jews. You want to find God? You go talk to a Jew. You find his Old Testament and it prepares you to understand the New Testament. But let me tell you this, this is not about religion. Do you realize the gift of God is more than religious differences and works? This is the best point of it all. Look at verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He says, if you only knew the gift. You're looking for the Messiah? Hello? The gift of God is Jesus. The gift that has been offered to this world is not God's miracles, not his blessings. It was himself. This woman had gone looking for water. She had spent her life looking for love. She had gone looking for something in life that would quench her thirsty soul. And right there, finally, facing her was the quencher of everything. I tell you, it's much better to have a person than a present. Would you agree with that? I read stories every once in a while, especially at Christmas. And it's an American illustration. American soldiers are over in Afghanistan right now, and a lot of them have gone on 2, 3, 4 tours of duty, and they haven't been home in years. And so their kids have grown up, and the wives have raised the kids alone. And in this modern day, those soldiers would be able to get onto the internet and buy a gift and have it shipped to them from Amazon. But there's nothing like when daddy sneaks in the back door, and those kids are opening presents, and they're crying because they wish daddy was there, and daddy goes, hey! That house comes unglued because the gift means nothing compared to the giver. Jesus could have said, I'll send rain. I'll make water flow out of the rock. He could do that. He had already done that. I can make hamburgers fall out of the sky. But he said, I'm the gift. And that is the greatest of all. You can have Jesus Christ. Think about it. I get to get in him, and he gets to get in me. That's the greatest gift of all. The gift is Jesus Christ. A living, breathing, walking, talking Son of God. Right here with us. Do you know, if you got any family around you this Christmas, you're blessed. Would you quit finding fault with them and just hug them and don't let them go? Amen. How much more to have Jesus Christ? Last thing. Look at verse 28. I think this is, it just builds and builds. Verse 28, we'll be through. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the, who? Who's she talking to now? Listen, this woman's known a lot of men. And she is a changed woman. She goes right up to the men of that city. And she saith to the men, come see a real man. Did you hear? I kind of read that in there. But that's what she's saying. Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Let me just, in verse 28 and 29, let me just remind you that God's gift changes the receiver. You may ask, how do you know if you get Jesus? Well, watch this woman. From the moment that she got saved, this woman drops her bucket. She leaves it behind her. She's no longer worried about water. I believe her the disciples, those 12 men that went into Sychar to get McDonald's, remember, they're coming back. And they see this woman running right at them and passing right by them. She didn't even salute her. She didn't say, hi, how are you? She was no longer thirsty for water. She was no longer lonely for love. She was changed. Say, how do you know you got Jesus Christ? Your life will show it. She's not perfect, but she's different. Amen? No longer worried about what anybody thought of her and her past and all of her failures. She went right up to the men who knew her history. She went right up to the people who knew her since she was a teenager. She saw that and she said, don't worry about me. You better go meet him. Greatest testimony that this world needs is a changed life. Amen. We put on so many bows. You know what Joshua did? This morning he tried to pull a Ledbetter on me. He got this huge bag. Said, Happy Christmas on it. I opened it up. There was a box in it. Reach in, pull the box out. Unwrap it. Another box in it. I like that. My dad did that to me all the time. But we do something really wrong with our lives. We wrap ourselves up so we look so puffed up. We put so many bows on. We glitter and shine. You know what God says? Just be different. Just allow the Lord Jesus to change your life. Because it's not the pretty bows and the pretty glitter that attract real attention. It's a changed life. And this woman's attracting some attention. She's concerned for a town that at that point she could care less about the men in that town. She had tried to find a husband who would stay with her. Not one of them would. The guy that was now living with her wouldn't marry her. She was a true feminist. She had at that point decided, men. You ever hear a woman say that? You know, run. And she goes up to them and she's concerned for a town that was just as wicked as she was. You know, if you get saved, you'll go right back to that crowd you used to run with and you say, you need the man. You need Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you get saved. I guarantee you she did not go home to that filthy, wicked man she'd been living with. Amen, amen, and amen. You say, can I get saved and then can we still be living together? No. You want to live with a guy? Marry him. Amen. He doesn't want to marry you? Drop him or let me shoot him. Yeah. Honestly, where do we get this idea that the gift is just something that just makes us feel good? It changes us. Amen. It changes us. She was gloriously changed, just like some of you wish you could be. She was freed, not from just the bondage of sin, but from the bondage of her past. Praise God. And you can be free too. You know, Christmas isn't over. This is why Jesus came to that manger in Bethlehem to save us from our sins, to save us from the power of the devil, to save us from this world and its lust, and to save us from the righteous and holy judgment of our all-holy God. Did any of your gifts that you got this Christmas do anything for you? Have you ever gotten a gift that actually changed your life? Changed you from an introverted slave of sin into a free man in Christ, bold as a lion? That's what she became. Have any of your gifts in your life ever changed your attitude about life, about troubles, about God, and about yourself? Has the gift ever changed? Maybe you haven't unwrapped all your gifts yet. You know, if you're born again, let me tell you, look back on when that gift was opened. Mine was 32 years ago. Dennis was 38 years ago. When that gift was opened, it changed our lives. Amen. Eric and I will talk every once in a while and we'll say, I just don't get it. People don't seem to get saved like we did. And I just nod my head. I said, I don't know if they get it or not. I just know that when Jesus Christ reached into this muck and mire of a life, He pulled me out of it. He cleaned me up. Yeah, I got back in the muck sometimes. Yeah, I messed up sometimes. Yeah, I sinned. I turned my back on God plenty of times. But He was there. And He changed me. I am not the same as I was when I was 17 years old. I'm telling you about a gift. Did you open all your gifts this morning? If you are not born again, then the gift of God is waiting for you. We just read about it. That woman could have come there and said, would you move? Get off of that thing. You don't even belong here. I'm trying to get some water here. She almost missed him. She could have said, oh, I can't talk to him. Oh, no, no. He talked to her. Isn't it wonderful how God starts the conversation? He goes looking for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we stand here.